be stricken from the records.
Objection sustained.
If it please the court, Your Honor, at this time I would like to introduce my three main witnesses.
Request granted. Proceed with the testimony.
Thank you, Your Honor, and proceed we will, coming to you from outside the motor pool in a sound booth near the great state of Amnesia. Welcome to Lifestyles and the Law today. Just a friendly reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. Good day to you. I'm Alan Mason, your host and witness number one, along with witness number two, our show producer, Rick Snyder. And you, my good friend, are the witness the judge likes best. Thank you for joining us today. The latest audience statistics tell us more people like vanilla ice cream than any other flavor. And you thought it was chocolate. We tell you this because this is the coolest place where legal minds gather for the latest news and community event information. Speaking of cool minds, experts tell us that there is a mounting phobia in handling dirty cash. A dazzling $4.4 trillion passed from hand to hand last year as retailers gear up for $8.3 trillion in cashless transactions in 2020. As more businesses deploy innovative technologies to encourage digital payments. Say goodbye to cash. All right, coming up on today's show, Thomas A. Robes is with us. He's the go-to guy when it comes to personal injury. As a matter of fact, he's the go-to guy for just about everything over at the Robes Law Group. Then Rick Snyder checks in with the latest legal news. Seems Pasco County Sheriff is in the news, and that's coming up at the bottom of the hour. And in our top 10 segment, Rick has a list of top 10 reasons why people dislike telemarketers. Only 10? That's coming up. And in our phobia segment, phobiophobia. Wait until you hear who started the phobia frenzy in America. Phobiophobia, don't be afraid to look that up. And in the other side of the hour segment, we want to know if smoking kills you and bacon kills you, but smoking bacon will cure it, what are we doing wrong? And I saw an ad for burial plots the other day, and I thought to myself, man, that's the last thing I need. Also, we heard birthday parties cause aging. We'll tell you more in the last part of the hour. Are you still telling your friends about this show? Thanks for your support. A recent audience survey indicates we can't help everyone, but everyone can help someone. Remember that when you're telling your friends about the show. But right now it's time to take a look at South Florida's latest legal headlines, brought to you by the Robes Law Group, your community-approved legal brain trust. Here with today's headlines is our constantly random voice of wisdom and full-time news orator, Rick Snyder.
Thank you, Alan. Hey, courts are cautiously preparing for the resumption of jury trials here in Florida. Have you heard about Pasco County Sheriff and his targeted intelligence program? Huh. We've got the top 7 useful legal tricks for small businesses. Details and more on the half hour. And Alan, now back to you.
Thanks, Rick. You know what's free in life? Advice, maybe a smile. When we return, I'll tell you how to receive a free Robes wallet. What in the world is a free Robes wallet? I'll tell you more when we return, so don't go back. We'll be right away. Personal injury attorneys regularly inundate the airwaves with money-making rants, guaranteeing their clients huge settlements. Call now is their air horn. We make money only if you do is tattooed on their foreheads. Had enough? The Robes Law Group offers sound legal guidance and direction. They work hard for you because it's the right thing to do. What you say or don't say at the scene of an accident matters. Wouldn't it be great if your lawyer was right there with you to guide you through this confusing moment? That's why the Robes Law Group developed a smartphone application. You can download the Robes Law Group app from the App Store or simply text the word ROBES to 474747. That's ROBES. Text to 474747. Or call the Robes Law Group today at 561-570-5700. That's 561-570-5700. Or check out their website at robeslawgroup.com. Have you ever heard the saying, no risk, no reward? It's all about the risk, isn't it? Every time you grab your car keys, you are preparing to drive into the risk field. There are thousands of factors which determine the amount of your risk. Traffic, weather conditions, distractions, or time restrictions. But there is a risk. The best part is you get to determine the degree of risk you're willing to take. But When those conditions or restrictions get the best of you, that's when your heartaches begin. That's why Robes Law Group developed a handy wallet about the size of a number 10 envelope that fits perfectly in the glove box of your car. The wallet has contact numbers, website, and texting information, plus a comprehensive list of what to do in case you are involved in an accident. What you say or don't say at the scene of an accident could determine the outcome of your case. Want a free Robes wallet? Call right now, 561-570-5700, and ask Christina to send you a Robes glove box wallet, and the information within should ease the pain of an unfortunate experience. It can't hurt to have a backup of your hard drive, an extra memory stick, and a relationship with a lawyer who knows what he's doing. Looking for the best outcome? Join the list of satisfied Robes clients and call the good folks at Robes Law Group, 561-570-5700, or visit them at their website, robeslawgroup.com. Ah, the risk field. We have a lot of fun going through the risk field, don't we?
It's always a little risky, though, Alan.
Yeah, but like we said in the piece, the risk is up to us, and that's what makes it important. But there's also a risk in not having a Robes wallet in your glove box.
Absolutely, because when you need it and it's not there, you're in trouble.
Yep.
The risk field, it awaits you, and so do these Robes Law Group wallets. They're free,
yep.
They're handy, mm-hmm. and they're important because you can do a lot of things with these.
And here's a silly reason, but they're kind of stylish. They look cool. They're black with the chrome or silver writing on it. And when you open it up, there's two plastic inserts there that you can see through, so you can put your documents in there, your registration, insurance papers. Oh, Rick, what would happen if you didn't have your insurance papers with you?
Why are you asking me that? Oh, because I didn't.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, I was stopped, and when I opened my glove compartment, I had everything I needed but my insurance card.
Yeah.
And the motorcycle officer was very kind. He said, if you're in court by tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock with proof of insurance, you're going to be okay. I'm going to write you a warning. Mm. And the warning actually said, you got to be in court tomorrow at 10 o'clock with your proof of insurance, which was on my desk at home for some reason.
Yeah.
But had it been in the Robes wallet, where it is now, by the way, I would have been safe and handy, and the officer was very kind. Did I tell you why I was going 72 in a 45 zone?
Is it relevant to the case?
Well, I thought it was kind of funny. I just gotten out of a doctor's office, and he gave me good news, and I was very happy, and that's what I told the officer. I said, I got good news. I'm happy. He said, uh-huh.
You know, Stephen Wright, one time they asked him, he said, the cop says, why were you speeding? And he said, I had my foot all the way down on the gas pedal. Gives more gas to the engine, makes the car go.
It will do that, too.
Hey, on the back of the Robes wallet, it says the word accident, and there's 8 nifty tips that you can follow if you are involved in an accident. Tells you what to do. Stop immediately, which I kind of thought that the crash might make you stop immediately.
Exactly.
And then call 911. That's obvious. And then get all the names and phone numbers and addresses of the other people there and the witnesses.
Take pictures of both cars.
Sure. I mean, cell phones, everybody's got a camera today.
Absolutely.
So that works. And, you know, check for injuries. Make sure that no one is hurt, of course. Those are the important things to do. And like you said, photograph everything. And then allow the police to take your statement. Because as Esteban Benitez has told us many, many times, the accident report cannot be used in court.
That's correct.
So anything you say.
Now, you have the wallet in your hand right now.
I do.
How do you get one?
Ah, here's the deal. You call 561-570-5700 and ask Christina to send you a Robes Law Group wallet, and she'll drop it in the mail and send it to you for free.
Not a bad deal.
If it's free, give me 3.
That's it. Tell Christina that. Send 3. I've got 3 cars. Actually, this is a great idea, and it does come in handy, and it's a necessary item in your glove compartment.
Of course, there is another underlying thing. When you pull your Robes wallet out, you make sure that the police officer sees Robes Law Group right there on the front, and he'll know you're protected. He won't play around with you.
Absolutely. That's right.
There you go. So again, 561-570-5700. Ask Christina to send you a Robes Law Group wallet.
Here's our next super guest on Lifestyles and the Law Today, brought to you by Robes Law Group of Delray Beach, Florida.
Okay, our first super guest earned his bachelor's degree from the University of Florida and a Juris Doctorate degree from Florida State University. He's a member of the Florida Bar and Southern Trial Lawyers Association and has a solid reputation for successfully represented individuals involved in personal injury accidents. He's a master at identifying your needs and getting you the justice you deserve. Thomas A. Robes, welcome to Lifestyles in the Law today.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Great to see you.
Uh-oh, there's your first mistake, gentlemen. That's all right. We'll get through it. That's a heck of an intro there.
Well, I do appreciate that. I have worked hard over the years in schooling and so forth in my profession. But first and foremost, Alric, really great seeing you. It's nice to get out of the office and get out of the trenches.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, you're also a member of the National Trial Lawyers Top 40 Under 40. What's that mean?
Well, now I'm on the other side of 40. Fortunately or unfortunately, depends on how you look at it. But yes, that was an award that I got a number of years ago.
Oh, so 40 is actually the age. I thought it.
Absolutely. 40 is under the age. So now, I try to pass for under 40, but the gray hairs in the the hairline may or may not give me away. So who knows?
It's okay. You made it in there to get started, and that's all that counts.
Under
right?
the wire.
Yeah, under the wire. And also the Florida Justice Association, the Million Dollar Advocates Forum. I mean, you're really doing a lot.
Well, I've been working at this craft for almost two decades. I've been fortunate enough to represent a number of individuals throughout South Florida community involving incidents involving personal injury. And unfortunately for my claimants, some of those claims did result in recoveries over seven figures.
Wow. You said an important word there, working at the craft.
Yeah, it's the practice of law. I mean, you're always honing your skills, trying to learn and do new things, and constantly educating yourself. It's an important part of our practice.
Well, I know doctors have to go through that every few months. They have to go re-educate and update and all that. Same thing with you?
Yeah, absolutely. We have continuing legal education requirements that involve areas in your practice, ethics, also technology. The Florida Bar does what it needs to do to make sure that the members are staying on top of changes in the laws and things of that nature to properly serve the community.
How regular do the other, I guess the competition we might say, do they do that? Is that a common practice or is that something you do?
Well, very often we have our reporting requirements every 3 years. We have to report to the Florida Bar and there's certain requirements we need to satisfy. But being in the area of personal injury, there's certain types of seminars and things of that nature that you're not required to go to, but it's for your best interest, or you just may have an interest in it and you want to learn more about it.
Right, and you stay on top of that. And folks, that's good to know. You have somebody that's a legal, we always say a legal brain trust. We really mean that. I mean, these guys study hard, and it's not easy to do that.
Well, it's interesting you said brain trust. Actually, the last seminar I attended was dealing with traumatic brain injuries.
Of course.
Exactly. And so to actually listen to experts in the medical field and cutting edge on the legal side of it explain how these injuries are diagnosed and things that you can do to help your clients, I mean, it was a wealth of information.
Sure. You have to stay on top of it.
You do.
Hey, this might be a silly question, but yeah, I mean, maybe I already know the answer, but I have to ask. Should I always consult with an attorney after is this a pedestrian accident? Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with the car.
Well, we look at law very similar to like medicine. There's preventative and curative. Yep. Unfortunately, nobody anticipates ever to get into a motor vehicle accident or a pedestrian accident. So unfortunately, you're on the curative side. Preventative side is, maybe wills and estates, estate planning, tax planning, things of that right. nature. But unfortunately, not very many people, anticipate being involved in a motor vehicle accident or especially a pedestrian accident. So consulting an attorney is important because most people really don't know what their rights and remedies are available to them.
Right.
Very often, just like in certain aspects, like for example, we mentioned tax planning. Very often, if you're doing your taxes, you may want to consult with a tax professional. With personal injury, like I said, nobody's anticipating this, but there's certain things that we can give you basically talking points or thought leadership in this regard, where we talk about, hey, listen, take a look at your personal insurance information. Are there gaps in your insurance that if in the event some sort of incident occurred, are you going to be protected? You hopefully never need to do it, but you want to be educated. Just like if you're a homeowner here in South Florida, you have to know what you're going to do if a hurricane's coming, because exactly. After the hurricane hit, It's too late.
Too late.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Well, that's, again, like we always say, and we said a couple of times during the show, no one knows when an auto accident or any accident is going to happen. They just happen. So if you're not prepared for it, boom. Do I need, now we're talking strictly pedestrian injury here today, right? So do I have a special kind of insurance that I can get to protect me in case I do get hurt?
It depends on the type of pedestrian incident, but typically what we see here in South Florida, because we have such a large population, lots of people walking, using bicycles and also motor vehicles, is typically what we see are either the slip and fall, trip and fall pedestrian type injuries or something involved with a motor vehicle. When it's a motor vehicle pedestrian incident, the motor vehicle type insurance typically applies. So you have your personal injury protection benefits, if applicable. Then you would look at the liability insurance for the adverse driver and owner of the vehicle. Mm-hmm. Also, your, believe it or not, your uninsured motorist coverage or underinsured motorist coverage would be in play if you've elected to have that sort of coverage. And then also short-term disability, long-term disability, health insurance, accident insurance. It's depending what insurance you have will impact what is going to be applicable. We talk about those types of insurances and how they all interplay, how they layer, and why you may have a need for certain types of insurance that you may not have known about or have, but may not be the appropriate coverage amounts.
Yeah. So it's not a boring night at the attorney's office. I mean, we actually cover some pretty neat stuff. Hey, what if I'm on a bicycle and another bicycle hits me? I mean, it doesn't seem, you know, maybe you're going 20 miles an hour, but if you get knocked over, you hit your head, right? You got problems. Now, how does auto insurance cover a bicycle on a bicycle?
Well, if you have a bicycle on bicycle, auto insurance would not be applicable. However, health insurance could come into play, disability insurance. Also, homeowners insurance could come into play. And believe it or not, maybe if you're riding your bike for work, workers' compensation so there's all sorts of different things. That's why it's important to have an attorney that specializes in personal injury claims to take a look at, because that's part of the analysis that we do, is what type of claim is this and what applicable insurances may be involved and so forth.
You know, we had Jeffrey, what was it, Jeff Friedman?
Jeff Friedman, the workers' compensation guru.
He really enlightened us on a lot of stuff. And I think if you go to the Robes Law Group app, you can listen to the past shows. So just to check out old Jeffrey Friedman there. He did a really great job and explained a lot of stuff to us. So now, what if it's a hit and run?
Well, hit and run, when you're dealing in a pedestrian situation, you still would be in a auto pedestrian situation. You would be able to look at your auto insurance for coverage. Specifically, the one that you'd be looking at is uninsured or underinsured motors. The insurance typically would work just as if you were in your motor vehicle and it was a hit and run. You know, if you have that type of coverage, then it would be applicable.
I don't know, if it's a hit and run on a bicycle, they better be able to run faster than me.
It's a hit and pedal.
Hit and pedal.
And believe it or not, because you know my office is located in downtown Del Rey, where there's a lot of pedestrian and bicyclists.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of hit and pedals going on too. So
really,
absolutely.
Oh man, I hope they can outreach my fist. What if a pedestrian contributed to the crash? I mean, I guess if you're riding a bike and somebody steps in front of you and knocks you down, you bang your head.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you bring that up, because very often it's dependent on the factual circumstances. Like, for example, there's a type of cases that, this is not exactly answer your question, but like child dart out cases where you're in, let's say, a residential neighborhood, lots of families, lots of kids, and a kid may run out into the roadway.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, those types of situations, you know, very often, you would think, oh, maybe 100% of the responsibility is on the child for darting out into the roadway. However, if it's foreseeable, things of that nature, if it's a potential expected occurrence, and also very often there's contributing factors in these pedestrian cases where someone's like not in the crosswalk, there's lighting issues, obstruction issues. So these are all these things that we look at in analysis, and not to get too technical, but Florida is a comparative liability state, meaning that if the potential jury would look at this and say, you know what, maybe that car was driving too fast, or maybe that person was on their phone, or maybe they didn't have their lights on, things of that nature, then there may be a split of responsibility between the person who was maybe jaywalking, let's say, and the driver. It's a factual analysis, and that's where, you know, a seasoned lawyer can help.
I have a friend of mine that's an works in the insurance business. He's in the actuaries.
Yes.
And he told me, maybe you can enlighten me on this. He said, if you run a stop sign and hit somebody, it's not necessarily 100% your fault. The other driver could be maybe 25% fault because the intersection was big enough to where he should have been able to see you. You did the illegal act, ran the sign, but he could have stopped. You have anything that fits that?
Well, first off, if you're hanging out with some actuaries, you must be a pretty bright guy because those are some pretty intelligent individuals. I happen to know a few myself, but yes, that is true. That's, you know, what you're talking about is last clear chance to avoid. That's when you start factoring it. Yes. Where you say, listen, okay, yeah, maybe this person disregarded a traffic control device, but what was the other car doing? You know, you just can't blindly enter into an intersection. And in fact, there's actual laws on the books that talk about that all drivers, irrespective if you have a green light, red light, whatever it may be, you have responsibilities when you're operating a motor vehicle. You just can't basically close your eyes and just drive through an intersection blind.
Well, what exactly should I do? Should an attorney represent me in an auto accident or a pedestrian injury? What's my responsibilities?
Well, you know, like we were talking about, you know, when you're helping out somebody who's been involved in a personal injury claim, the attorney's role is different depending on the client and depending on the facts of the circumstance. And that's why it's important to have somebody who's experienced in this area of law, because it's not a one size fits all. Every case is different. And so depending on the facts and circumstances is depending on what the attorney should do. But essentially, the attorney is to guide through the process. You know, an example that I heard is, imagine you're playing a game of chess. You've never played a game of chess before, but the attorney is supposed to be your coach. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is how we're going to do the move. This is how this move is going to be beneficial for our ultimate goal. And the goal is directed by the client. So it's important to know what the client actually wants you to have accomplished. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I talk to my clients about. I say, what would you like me to do for you? You're here. How can I help you in a perfect world? What is the goal that you want me to obtain for you?
Make me win. that's what I want.
Sometimes it's as simple as that. And other times it's, you know, they have family responsibilities, financial responsibilities. And these incidents really can throw people for a 180.
Yeah, I'll bet. After the break, Thomas A. Robes will still be with us.
Have a question about personal injury law? Call the Robes Law Group right now, 561-570-5700, and ask for Thomas A. Robes. If you could prepare for an accident, it wouldn't be called an accident, would it? According to the U.S. Department of Transportation, more than 6 million traffic accidents occur every year. Cars, trucks, or motorcycles, it happens. The real question is, if it happens to you, what will you do? Statistics show the sooner you have legal representation, the better the outcome of your case. Wouldn't it be great if your lawyer was right there with you to guide you through this confusing moment? What you say or don't say at the scene of an accident matters. That's why the Robes Law Group developed a smartphone application. You can download the Robes Law Group app from the App Store or simply text the word ROBES to 474747. That's ROBES, text to 474747. Or call the Robes Law Group today at 561-570-5700. That's 561-570-5700. Or check out their website at robeslawgroup.com. Hey, I think it's time to check in to see if we have any new testimonials on the block. We have some testimonials from Happy Robes customers.
This is a wonderful way to learn about the law firm that you're looking into.
That's correct.
Testimonials from actual customers.
Word of mouth.
Yep. Spencer Frost, thank you. A big thank you, he said, to the entire staff at Robes Law Group. He highly recommends Mr. Robes to anyone looking for an honest, genuine attorney. He and his staff were extremely attentive during the entire process of my auto accident case. His experience, knowledge, and honest advice is second to none. 5 stars.
Wow. Thanks, nice. Spencer. Appreciate that.
Alan Alexander says, very professional. Robes Law Group takes care of you like family. I highly recommend them. I appreciate the hard work and time they took to work my case. Thanks, Robes Law Group, for all your help.
Wow, thanks, Alan. Alexander, huh? Boy, with a name like Alexander, how can you go wrong?
I don't think you can.
Yeah, he probably did all right.
Anna Marie Mitchell said, Tom Robes and the team were so informative about how personal injury case works. I was so happy I'd called them when I was rear-ended. They made sure I saw the best doctors and were very aggressive against the insurance company. Thank you, Anna Marie.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
Got a couple more.
I know her.
Yes. we got a couple more here. Yes, we do.
All right, who's next?
Aaron Duncan is next. Amazing team, he said. I definitely recommend them. They'll work hard to get you the best results. I appreciate them for making the experience as easy and transparent as possible. Wish I could give them 10 stars. Aaron, you just did.
Yep, thanks, Aaron. Appreciate that. Next.
H. Williams says, highly recommended. From beginning to end, the Rhodes Law Group team was amazing, professional knowledge, and respectful. I always felt that I was well informed on my case at all times. Truly grateful for Rhodes Law Group.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Williams. We appreciate it. Whatever, Hector, is it maybe? Or Horace? Harry?
Hal.
Hal? All right, next.
One more. Kelly Hanno says Tom Robes and company are incredibly genuine and care about each client and their individual situation. They took their time making sure I knew every step, every outcome up until the very end of my case. I've been extremely impressed by their involvement in the community, too, and giving back. I have and will continue to recommend friends, family, and anyone with an ear and a need to utilize this law firm, the Rhodes Law Group.
Oh, thank you, Kelly, for those kind words. We appreciate it. Listen, if you have a testimonial that you would like to send to us, you know their website is facebook.com/Rhodes Law Group. Coming up on the second half of the show, Thomas A. Robes is still with us. He knows personal injury better than most doctors, so stay tuned for Thomas A. Robes. Then in our top 10 Q&A segment, we present the top 10 of anything with more than 11 items. This week, the top 10 reason why telemarketers are loved and adored. 6 out of 4 telemarketers say most of the people they call are sweeter than 3.14. And in this week's Phobia, we'll separate the timid from the brave. Phobia, phobia. It's all Greek to me. But right now, it's time for all the news that maybe shouldn't be news. Brought to you by the Robes Law Group of Delray Beach. Download their smartphone app by texting the word Robes to 474747. Rick Snyder, our show producer, has a story about a sheriff and his new surveillance program. Rick, what's going on in the world of lawlessness?
Thank you, Alan. Hey, with COVID-19 infection rates slowing, courts throughout Florida are beginning to plan for the resumption of jury trials. While the prospect still remains a big question mark, Florida's busiest court system could see a limited resumption of jury trials as early as October. On August 24th, the 7th Judicial Circuit marked the latest recovery milestone when it convened the first criminal jury trial since the pandemic forced the suspension of normal court operations in March. By August 27th, an Office of State Courts Administrator website showed that more than half of Florida counties had transitioned from Phase 1 to Phase 2 health restrictions, conditions that could permit jury trials under certain conditions. The Supreme Court's work group on the continuity of court operations and proceedings during and after COVID-19 has produced a number of videos, social media graphics, and messaging about new procedures in place at courthouses and for people responding to summonses for jury service. Now, these videos are available online. Get this now. This is stepstosafecourts.org. That's steps, the number 2, safecourts.org.
Okay, I got it.
All right, now it's going to be maybe 3 trials a week in each building maximum, because they're not not only have to have the courtroom, but they have to have the staff. Social distancing requirements would mean reserving elevators, restrooms, and an empty courtroom where jurors could take meals, in addition to requiring extensive use of protective equipment, said the judge.
You know what they could do? They could get those cardboard cutouts of people like they do at the ball games and just set them in the jury box.
Man. I see.
Probably the same.
There is some good news, though. The 11th Circuit Court's rapid transition to report technology has helped limit the backlog of cases. Since March 30th, the circuit has heard 94,140 hearings on Zoom. And this week alone, in criminal, they've had 31,905 hearings set.
I hear you.
Okay. All right.
What do you got next?
I'm going to find it.
Oh, yeah, the police officer, or the sheriff in sheriff. Pasco County. Eh?
Yep.
Sounds like a Western, doesn't it?
Yes,
I'm
it
the
does.
Sheriff from Pasco County.
Well, a Florida sheriff thought he could set up an intelligence program to stop crime before it happened. Remember the movie?
Pasco County Sheriff, yeah. It's a new TV series.
Yeah. Remember the film Minority Report?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the results have been equally as disastrous as in the movie. Pasco County Sheriff Chris Noko created a targeted intelligence program that would spot people most likely to break the law. The program used arrest histories and, it appears, not much else. Once deputies had a name, they would find and repeatedly interrogate the suspect, scour social media posts, bank accounts, and surveillance photos. The problem? They would do all this without warrants.
Sure.
Why not? Since 2015, the department kept a list of certain people who they thought to break the law. Deputies would then routinely visit these prolific offenders over and over. A department manual said if the offender does not feel the pressure, the strategy will have no impact. Often deputies would write tickets for petty violations or look for other reasons to make arrests, including the targets of family members. A former deputy described the goal of the program briefly: make their lives miserable until they move or sue. Another former deputy said that his team would show up at offenders' homes, offenders in quotes, six times a day, along with the homes of friends and family. Now, the sheriff's office is defending the program, saying that the intelligence-led policing philosophy works and arguing that property crime has dropped significantly. Targeting people with a criminal history will reduce crime, and because those are the people most likely to commit future crimes, the sheriff's office argues. Unless a court steps in or the public outcry becomes overwhelming, it's unlikely the Pasco County Sheriff's Office will stop their program. Others may try it as well, but remember, this is going on today.
Yeah, we need to send them back to the future. All right, Rick, what's up next?
Well, we have some legal tips for businesses. Different legal issues can affect the operations of small businesses. Some companies fail to adhere to the law and end up with lawsuits and fines that can affect their image. Therefore, it's crucial to know the laws that can affect your organization. Here are top seven useful legal tricks for small businesses. Number one's pretty easy. Create good contracts.
Get a hold of Tom Robes for that.
That's right.
There you go.
A contract is a binding agreement between the parties involved, and such a document should be clear to avoid legal implications.
Number two.
Get legal advice. Call Tom Robes. Workplace injuries are common, and they often result in compensation claims being filed by affected people. So you may need legal assistance with how to handle such cases. Mm-hmm. Number three is create a business entity. You need to determine the structure of your business. The choice of your entity determines how you borrow money and pay your taxes.
Okay. Number four,
protection of intellectual property. Important to prioritize intellectual protection of your business. Without a trademark, copyright, or patent, it may be difficult to file a lawsuit against individuals who may steal your IP.
All right, number five.
Privacy issues. Customer privacy is very important since it helps create trust and loyalty among different stakeholders. You need to set a privacy policy that guides the operations of your business so that you can protect the customer's data. Well, number six is data protection. Cybercrime and data breaches are very common these days, and their effects on your business can be severe. To protect data, you should consider installing antivirus software.
Yeah, duh.
Get business insurance. Number seven, business insurance. When operating your business, you should know that anything can happen at any time. Natural disasters, theft, and fires are common problems that can affect you and your business. Therefore, you need to get a good insurance plan that can protect you against unprecedented forces.
Yep.
Be aware of state laws that can affect the operations of your business. Compliance with the law helps protect you and your business interests, as well as the stakeholders affected by it.
Very cool. And those are some tips that you need to know to run a business.
Run a business. That's it.
Great. The most important tip there was call Tom Robes.
Here's our next super guest on Lifestyles and the Law Today, brought to you by Robes Law Group of Delray Beach, Florida.
Okay, super guest Thomas A. Robes is here with us. Tom, you have built yourself a heck of a practice down there. And how many people do you have working for you down there at the Robes Law Group? Too many?
Well, when it comes to payroll time, I don't like to think about it. But no, I have a great team, and there's approximately 15 of us. They work very hard. And one of the things that's really important is that all my staff is like-minded, that we are here for the clients, not the other way around.
Yep.
And that compassion and caring is actually one of the things that I discuss
in the interview process, because if you're not a compassionate or caring person, then this is not the industry for you, because we're here to help people.
And I know, we've had Esteban Benitez on the show before.
Sure.
He's your top paralegal guy down there. And I believe every word you say. You hire some really good people to do a really good job.
I'm very fortunate to work with them.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, you got any? You know, we do the scammer segment here, and people love to hear that kind of stuff because they wanna beware. But you must have a few good stories that have happened in the ways of personal injury.
Invariably, if they need my services, they're injured. And so, you know, that aspect of it is not a...
We're just talking about the ligaments of the law.
Sure, sure. Yeah, some of the facts that go into these crashes are somewhat unusual, or we find out some things that are humorous in retrospect that don't involve the injuries. But one was an interesting case that I worked on. That we've been talking about pedestrian crashes. This was one that actually involved a disabled individual. He was in a crosswalk and he was hit by a car. He was in a motorized wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And the case was passed by a number of law firms. And the reason why was because when law enforcement went out and did their initial investigation, they put the person, the pedestrian, the disabled person at fault, basically saying that just went out on oncoming traffic and was not in the crosswalk.
Mm.
The crash happened just a couple blocks from my office. I was very familiar with the intersection just because I'd driven through it countless times. And it was a clear intersection, no obstructions. And my initial thought process was, even if this person was jaywalking, so to speak, in a motorized scooter, you could have seen this person. The speed limit was 35 miles an hour on this stretch of the road.
Right.
And come to find out, after we put the case into litigation when the insurance company denied it, come to find out we found some independent witnesses that put the person in the crosswalk at the time of the crash. What we had going against us was the traffic light. But we did some research and to follow up some of those long nights in the law library.
Right.
I said, I remember reading about this somewhere, and we went back and there's laws about out there that dictate what you're supposed to do when there's a disabled person in a crosswalk. And essentially, I haven't looked at the statute in a little bit of time because the case is a few years old. But what happens is essentially if someone is disabled using an assisted device, so forth and so on, and they're in the crosswalk, irrespective of the traffic control device, you're supposed to stop.
Oh, yeah.
And so with that case, we were able to switch the liability from the insurance company taking a no-pay position and be able to get a significant recovery for this individual. They had, significant bony injuries, and the person was, if I recall, had a unrelated medical condition, but made his healing that much more difficult and suffered some complications in that regard. But, 3 years later, we got a good result after protracted litigation.
Right? What do you think motivated the police to label it as the pedestrian's fault?
Well, what I think happened was that the pedestrian was transported by EMS to the emergency room. So the police officer only got his version of what happened after the fact, spoke to the other driver. We were able to get independent witnesses because the crash happened in a commercial area, and we just canvassed the area and found some people that saw the crash and
store owners and things.
Correct.
How about video? Or was that?
No, we didn't. We weren't able to capture video, but what happened was that we found people who worked in the strip mall adjacent to, it was a four-way intersection. So on one of the corners, is a very heavily trafficked strip mall.
Right.
We were able to speak to some of the people, and they're like, oh, yeah, we remember this crash, and he was in the crosswalk, and this is what happened. And it was actually interesting. My client at the time was eating something, and what they recall about it, which was helpful, and I think this was something that the insurance company was concerned about, is that he was hit so hard, his food items went flying in the air, and she was able to identify the food items from the parking lot. So,
so much for those fries.
Something to that effect. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. That is bizarre. And that's a message for all those folks out there that really try to skirt around things. There's cameras everywhere. There's witnesses everywhere. And if you've got a lawyer that will go the extra yard, just like you said you did, you went out and canvassed the area. You'll get caught if you're playing around. You got to tell the truth, folks. That's the way it works here in this country.
Yeah, it's important. When you talked about the roles, and there's a lot of fine attorneys in this area, and a lot of them do amazing jobs. And very often the lawyer's role is to try and gather the evidence, such as let's try and find some video surveillance. Let's try and find a witness. You know, send out your private investigators to go find this information, because it's not readily available sometimes. And if you dig, you can sometimes find some very helpful items.
And that takes time to do that. And as I remember, time is money.
Sure.
So you guys actually go the extra route there.
Yeah, these and that's the one of the things that when you're consulting with an attorney to ask them about is the resources that they have to investigate these sorts of claims. It's important, because very often, you know, there's a number of cases that I'm currently working on that right away, the first day that we're consulted, we already know we have to hire an accident reconstructionist. We got to have an engineer go examine the crash site, do data downloads from the vehicles, take measurements, and those costs can be significant. But you know you're going to need those. For example, that situation you're talking about, the actuarialist.
Right.
If you have a big intersectional crash and there's injuries, you may want to go get the data from the vehicle that had the right of way, because if they're traveling 15 miles, 10 miles over the speed limit, or you see that there was no braking immediately before the crash, those can be used as evidence of the driver's inattentiveness. And also that's important for force of impact, how fast the vehicles were going at the time of the crash. And then the experts, you know, these guys are you know, extremely talented. They're able to look at these vehicles and be able to give us all sorts of data to show the force and direction upon the body and how this impacts the body directly.
That's right. All the newer cars now have that it's all built into the computer of the car. They know how fast you were going and know what time it was when it happened. I mean, they're getting it down pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I've had a number of cases that have been helpful with this type of investigatory material that we're able to get from the experts to show driving patterns or to show force. You know, I've had an intersectional case where I had the driving data and the defendant driver, who initially was put not at fault for the crash, because it was a he said, she said, and then we got the driver, it's called EDR, the data, clearly show that this driver contributed or mainly caused the crash, but then in deposition gave testimony that was self-serving, to be polite, and it was completely contradicted to what the data said. So, you know, that case got resolved shortly thereafter.
Do you think self-driving cars will be a bigger problem in the world of personal injury, or is it going to clear some things up?
It creates challenges, and in fact, to give a lawyer answer, it depends. Exactly. There's a lot of debate going on multiple levels of how these autonomous vehicles are going to, no pun intended, impact what's going on, and also the driver assistance and things of that nature. You know, we've had some cases where there's been allegations that there should have been features in the motor vehicle that could have avoided or mitigated what happened. And, you know, those things didn't do the things that they were supposed to do. So, you know, and then there's also, you know, the shift on liability. If you have a crash where there's an autonomous vehicle, then, okay, well, how are we going? Who's responsible? How are they going to deal with this? And this is being dealt with.
Get the programmer.
Yeah. Well, this is being dealt with on a local and national level. And, you know, the good people at the AAJ and FJA are, you know, really, really advocating for consumer rights in this regard. So,
yeah, Rick was telling me earlier that with these autonomous cars around pretty soon, there'll be a country music song that says, "My truck left me."
Yes. Exactly.
Hey, Tom, I understand that your firm was recently invited to join the $1 million club, or the $100 million club. 100. Wow. That's 100 with two zeros. $100 million club. What's that all about?
Well, you know, from what I understand, because the news was brought to me as well by, you know, some of my staff members, apparently there was an invitation. I guess this is a sort of a an achievement award of serving people in the community for a long time and in the totality of awards. So that's what I understand it to be. It's again, talking about that 40 under 40, I guess to get to that level, you've had to be around for a little bit. And I guess that's what the gray hairs are poking out of my beard are starting to show us. So.
Yeah, don't be scared. It's just a beard. That's great. Thomas A. Robes, thank you for joining us on the show today. And you're going to hang around till the end. So if someone wants to talk to you about personal injury, you know the number to call, 561-570-5700. We're standing by.
you hear that sound, something bad is about to happen.
Good afternoon. This is Christina at the Rubs Law Group. How can I help you?
And that's the sound of confidence. Confidence in knowing you have selected the right team to represent you in your hour of need. The Department of Transportation tells us more than 5 million crashes occur every year. That's more than 13,600 accidents every single day, every day. So be aware of... And remember, when you need legal representation, call the good folks at Rogues Law Group at 561-570-5700. That's 561-570-5700. Or better yet, download the Rogues Law Group app by texting the word ROBES to 474747. That's ROBES to 474747.
This is Christina at the Rogues Law Group. How can I help you?
Welcome back to Lifestyles in the Law. Today, I'm Alan Mason, your host and non-legal orator, along with our show producer, Rick Snyder, with a message for those afflicted with phobiophobia. If you have a fear, you should know that the word phobia is derived from the Greek word fear. Remember, it was President Roosevelt who said,
"Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is... fear itself."
That shouldn't stop you from grabbing your smartphone if you're not driving and texting the word ROBES, that's R-O-B-E-S, to 474747 and download the Rogues Law Group app. When you download the app, fear not to open it. It's a nifty app. There are many options. You can listen to the show, check traffic or weather conditions, check out the Rogues Town Hall meetings, or contact Rogues 24/7, 365. Besides, the Rogues Law Group app gives you peace of mind knowing that legal representation is in the palm of your hand. Just a friendly reminder, when you hire Rogues from the app, you receive a $1,000 fee credit when your case is settled. That's $1,000 just from hiring Rogues from the app. Well, let's do something a little different this week, Rick. How's this? When you hire Rogues to settle your case, tell them you heard Alan Mason say the same fee credit applies, smartphone or no. Remember, tell them you heard Alan Mason say the same fee credit applies. Be sure to tell them you heard about it on this radio station. This offer is good until the end of October. On the other hand, smartphone aficionados, text the word ROBES to 474747. Got it? Get it? Problem solved. All right, Rick, this week's top 10 list is the dirty little secrets of telemarketers. Yeah. They don't have any dirty little secrets, do they?
Oh, yeah.
All right, go ahead. Number 10, almost everything they say is right out of a script.
If you've ever talked to a telemarketer, you might notice that they don't talk like an everyday person. Mm-mm. They almost sound like a robot. That's because they're probably reading everything they're saying from a computer screen. They're not supposed to stray from the script by even one word.
All right, number 9. You should never take the first offer they give you. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's just good negotiating 101.
Most of the time, they have a better deal than the one they're offering right off the bat. That way, they have a bargaining chip. Sometimes we offer to waive fees to butter people up when those fees don't even exist. It's just something they say that sounds good.
Yeah. Number 8, they like to make you mad.
Well,
I think they do, yeah.
Well, it takes a special kind of person to be able to withstand the barrage of insults and obscenities hurled at them daily.
That's
true. The individuals who can make it past the first few days have found ways to cope. Mm-hmm. After a while, it becomes funny when people freak out and lose their cool. You never know it, but while you're screaming and yelling at them, they're probably trying our best not to laugh.
Mm-hmm. Number 7, they are careless with your personal information.
Ooh.
Ergo identity theft.
Yep, yeah. There you go. Even if you want to buy something from a telemarketer, it probably isn't a good idea to share your credit card number or any other sensitive information. Most of the time, it'll probably work out okay, but if someone really wanted to, they could easily copy down your information and take it home with them. Also, don't say the word yes.
Oh, absolutely.
They can pull that word out and...
drop it in. Do you agree to these terms?
Yes. All right, Alan, number 6.
Number 6. They have to push back when you say you are not interested.
They know that almost nothing will make a difference if someone just doesn't want what they're selling. But they're obligated to put up a fight or they could find themselves out of a job if they don't try. If you ever talk to a telemarketer who seems pushy, just know that he's only trying to do his job and he's under a lot of pressure to perform.
There you go. Number five, they have ways of getting revenge if you aren't nice.
Ouch. They definitely deserve everything you have to say to them. But if you're not nice, the unethical thing among the telemarketers will find ways to make life difficult for you. Instead of putting you down on the list as not interested, like they're supposed to do, they might put you down to be called back later in the day.
Many times.
Just to mess with you.
All right, here we go. Number four. Some telemarketers will say anything to get a deal.
Now, as previously mentioned, telemarketers are under a lot of pressure to get sales. Many of them don't make much of an hourly wage and rely on commissions to make ends meet. On top of that, they usually have a sales quota that they're required to meet.
All right, number three, they are allowed to keep calling you even if you say do not call.
In that industry, they have a DNC list, do not call. They don't want you to know about this list. To get on it, you must explicitly ask to be put there. Just saying, don't call me here anymore, it's not good enough. You have to say the words, do not call. Put us on your do not call list. They won't put you on it if you don't say it.
Yeah, especially if we go back to the previous one, how can they get to you?
Yeah.
They won't put you on the list. All right, number two, they prey on senior citizens.
Senior citizens are where many of the sales come from. It's pretty sickening, but it's like a lion preying on a weak antelope. Seniors are easy to sucker into buying things because they don't always have their faculties about them or realize what they're getting into. Taking advantage of seniors is about as immoral as it gets.
All right, here's the number one item on our list. Most telemarketers are breaking the law, and you can sue them for compensation.
Most people don't know it, but it's difficult for telemarketing companies to operate without breaking any laws. Strict laws prohibit telemarketers from using robocalls or autodialers, yet almost every telemarketing company uses those autodialers. Mm-hmm. Ever notice a long delay before someone comes on the line? Oh, that's it. It means they're probably using an autodialer. Under the Telephone Consumer Protection Act, telemarketers aren't legally allowed to call you without your express written consent. It's also illegal to call cell phones.
I think that's changed.
Yeah, I think so. If anyone breaks these laws, you're entitled to collect from $500 to $1,500 for each unwanted call you receive. I'm going to check my cell phone right now.
Okay. Well, that's the top 10 dirty little secrets of telemarketers.
Personal injury attorneys regularly inundate the airwaves with money-making rants, guaranteeing their clients huge settlements. Call now is their air horn. We make money only if you do is tattooed on their foreheads. Had enough? The Robes Law Group offers sound legal guidance and direction. They work hard for you because it's the right thing to do. What you say or don't say at the scene of an accident matters. Wouldn't it be great if your lawyer was right there with you to guide you through this confusing moment? That's why the Robes Law Group developed a smartphone application. You can download the Robes Law Group app from the App Store or simply text the word ROBES to 474747. That's ROBES, text to 474747. Or call the Robes Law Group today at 561-570-5700. That's 561-570-5700. Or check out their website at robeslawgroup.com.
Coming up on next week's show, attorney Jeffrey Friedman joins us. He has the inside information on workers' compensation law. Tune in next week for attorney Jeffrey Friedman.
We would like to thank you for joining us every Saturday. Your company is appreciated. Listen to Lifestyles and the Law today every Saturday for the latest legal and statutory rulings and decisions. This show is underwritten by the Robes Law Group of Delray Beach and originates from a virus-free studio in West Palm Beach, Florida. Executive producer John Mitchell, show producer Rick Snyder, audio engineer John Nutter, and I'm your host, Alan Mason. Sneeze you next week.